Today on episode number 430 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/430. We've got a Because of My Podcast story from the one, the only, Steve Stewart. We've got a Last 5 and 5 from Addy from MVRshow.com. We've got some cool podcasting news. We're going to talk about turning your podcast on its head. And we've got an interview with Sean Smith, better known as the Mobile Pro. Hit it, ladies. Hey, I think there's something wrong with your phone. Wait, if there was something wrong with your phone, then you wouldn't hear Dave. That means Dave's messing with you. Yeah, it's true. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Oh, podcasting since 2005, a long, long time ago. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much, so very, very much. And by that, I mean, golly gee, I'm glad you're here. I am going to be talking about all things podcasting today, from planning to promoting to recording to cool microphones like the IQ5B, which is what we use to record the interview with Sean Smith. We've got some clips today coming from the Podcast Movement event back in Dallas a while back. Still, that's one of the things I went there for was content. And I came back with a gaggle of content. I don't even know what that means. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, I would love to have you. The website is schoolofpodcasting.com. If you're looking to start a podcast, check this out. I got something for you. Write this down. L-I-S-T-E-N-E-R. That is listener. That is a coupon that you can use when you sign up at the School of Podcasting. It'll save you a little bit of coinage on your first month. Come for the education. Stay for the community over there at schoolofpodcasting.com. And you know what? Hey, we can't wait anymore. The one and only Steve Stewart, who does Money Plan SOS, was in town last week. If you missed that show, I explained how the one, the only, Philip Keller of blindfaithlive.com bought us free pizza. So it was like doubly goodness to A, be having dinner with Steve Stewart from moneyplansos.com, and then to get free pizza. And then Steve filled me in on this great bit of news, and we call this Because of My Podcast. Now, what is this, Dave? It's simple. It's a one-question interview. You know what the question is? You guessed it. What has happened in your life that wouldn't have happened unless you had your podcast? And Steve is going to answer that question right now. Take her away, Steve.
Mr. Jackson, Steve Stewart here from Money Plan SOS. Yes, I know you retired the Steve Stewart joke. I'm fine with that. I think.
Hey, it's not retired. It's just not a weekly thing.
People are probably starting to get sick of it anyway.
No, you can never get sick of Steve Stewart, ever.
Hey, I want to let you know, this is a Because of My Podcast story. You know, it was a year ago that I called in with a, you know, about my podcast story. And it was about how my podcast and my website was nominated for two different Plutus Awards. And the Plutus Awards is a way that the personal finance industry recognizes excellence inside of their industry.
Yeah, I want to say this is from Fidelity Financial people. You know, like if you saw the Fidelity logo, you'd go, "Ooh, wow, Fidelity's involved with this? This must be big." And it is. It's a very cool thing.
I did not win last year, and this year I was...
It was rigged. I'm telling you, Steve.
Once again, nominated and in the finalists for...
Of course you were nominated. You're Steve Stewart, man.
Two different categories, Best Personal Finance Blog and Best Debt-Focused Blog. Now, I had no expectations of winning either one, because essentially my blog is just show notes from the podcast. 95% of my written content on my website is show notes. So I was not thinking about that one at all. And I didn't have any hopes on winning the Best Personal Finance Podcast because I was up against some heavy hitters, including my favorite podcast, which is Stacking Benjamins, which you had on your show. Well, by now everybody can probably see where this whole story is going. I was sitting there filming the nominations, the finalists for the Best Personal Finance Podcast. They come up with all of our shows, you know, everybody's screaming, clapping, it's great. They announce the winner. It is Stacking Benjamins. And I was so stoked.
I am stoked as well. Joe, congratulations. So there's one podcaster that's winning an award. How cool is that?
Because he deserves it. What he does on his show For people who don't know, he does a lot of work, 3 days a week episodes. Amazing, amazing job. Joe Salcihi totally, totally deserves that. So now I'm left with the best debt-focused blog, which again, not expecting to win because honestly, it's just show notes. Well, guess what?
Now, before we answer this question, can you hear how you're going, it's just show notes? Well, guess what? Your show notes are better than other people's stuff. This is where I say your knowledge that you have in your head that you're like, everybody knows this. Who doesn't know how to solve a Rubik's Cube? No, you actually have knowledge. You put out content every day to your friends and family that most people go, really? I didn't know that. So here Steve's going, it's just show notes. No, man, there's some really cool stuff on your website. And guess what? We know the answer to this question.
They call my name.
Yes.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No way. No way. But yes, it's true. Money Plan SOS is now a Plutus Award-winning website because of its blog. The blog exists because its show notes support the podcast. That's why this is an About My Podcast story.
I'm clapping.
So my encouragement to your listeners is you never know where your podcast is going to take you. You never know where your success is going to lie. Your success might have absolutely nothing to do with your podcast, but it might do with your show notes. You never know. So keep working at it. Don't give up your craft. Keep perfecting what you're doing. Keep working on it. And then when you reach the top, don't stop there. I wrote this epic long blog post, which was basically a recap about the conference. And I'll tell you what, it's driven a bunch of traffic to my site, more than the normal amount of traffic. So maybe that's what I need to do. Practice, perfect, keep going. And who knows, maybe Money Plan SOS will win Best Debt-Focused Blog again next year.
And if it doesn't, we will hunt down the winner and kill them.
But it would...
maybe not.
...would not happen without an audience who's giving me some feedback to say, keep going, you're helping me. And from that come the show notes, which turns into a blog post.
But notice where that started from. The audience giving him feedback.
Now, if you excuse me, I just got back from the conference. My voice is dead. I need to go get some honey or something.
I think it's sexy.
Maybe drink some tea and maybe record a podcast or two. Love you, brother. Have a great day.
Love you too, my man. It was great having you in town. Now, check it out. So there's two podcasters who've won an award. And this is the Plutus Awards. Come on, man. It's the Plutus Awards, not the Pluto Awards. That's a whole Disney thing. And there's a big giant tongue involved. But this is the Plutus Awards. Now, check this out. The Amateur Traveler, another person who's been on this show, Chris Christensen, wins the Lowell Thomas Travel Journalism Award. And this is, again, this goes out to journalists. The awards are named for Lowell Thomas, not Dave Thomas. That was the founder of Wendy's, and which would be great, like if you won hamburgers or something like that. But wait till you hear what the winners win of this. Lowell Thomas was an acclaimed business journalist, a prolific author, and world explorer during 5 decades in journalism. And this was the 30th annual competition sponsored by the Society of American Travel Writers Foundation. Again, a major award. Winners of the awards, the most prestigious in the field of travel journalism, were announced September 16th at this convention held in Iceland. So bring your mittens. The competition drew 1,177 entries and was judged by members of the faculty of the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Say that without taking a deep breath. Holy cow. This year, the SATW Foundation presented 90 awards in 25 categories and nearly $20,000 in prize money, cha-ching, to journalists. Now, Chris Christensen of the Amateur Traveler podcast, yeah, that's right, he won an award. The judge said this about Chris's show. The Amateur Traveler podcast by Chris Christensen was well done. The first episode only featured narration by Christensen, which is challenging to produce. His incorporation of natural sound was a great addition to keep the show interesting and engaging. I offered both great historical context as well as important tips for travel to Flanders. The show was well produced and interesting. So in the immortal words of Paul Culligan, who the media? You the media. And all it takes is a microphone and the courage to hit record, And that's one of the things I help you do, because I know you're sitting there thinking, I don't know, the technical, would anybody? Yeah, people would listen to you. I'm telling you, people would listen to you, and I can help you do that.
In case you missed it, it's time for a podcast rewind.
Hey, I was on the Podcast Reporter Show with the one, the only Fred Castaneda, talking about, hey, Dave, you're the new director of podcasting for New Media Expo. What are the criteria? And here's a little clip from that show. I know, Fred, you were interested in kind of the criteria.
Right.
And so for me, I look at, after going, you know, not only to New Media, but PodCamps, and I've spoken at different events for authors and musicians. I've been to a bunch of different of events, and I've seen really good presentations, and I've seen ones that I've just go, wow, that was somebody who was not prepared or didn't know their audience and things like that. So one of the things I'm looking for is a takeaway and focus. So many times I think people try to cover everything in 40 minutes when it would be better, I think, to have a deeper dive on a narrower subject, so that instead of saying, hey, you know, if you want to grow your audience, use Facebook and Twitter. And while you're at it, use Google Plus. Okay, well, that's true. That's a great way to grow your audience. But why not explain how to use Twitter to search with hashtags, or, you know, give me an actual strategy that I can write down when I get home. Here are some things to do. And it's not, I need to Google this and get more details. To me, that is, if you can have me walking out with action steps, that to me is a great session. There you go. And again, you can find him over at Podcast Reporter. We do dive deep into what I'm looking for in that instance. And it's really a two-word plan when it comes to, hey, what are you looking for in a presentation at New Media Expo? It's simple. Don't suck. Really. I had a manager once that I was going into a giant insurance place, and we had almost lost the account for their training. And I was the new kid on the block. I just got hired at this. And they're like, look, with your history and your experience, and you seem to be kind of cool under fire, we're going to send you in. We've got one shot here. You got to go in and do a presentation. And they're going to really base whether they stay with our company based on how you do. And I'm like, okay, wow, I really appreciate the, you know, the vote of confidence. And my manager looked at me and said, yeah, I got two words for it. And I go, what's that? And he goes, don't suck. So there you go. That's my that's my advice for that. That's what I'm looking for. And I want to play a couple of clips here of stuff that's not me, but I want to let you know what's going on. And if you're a longtime podcast listener, if you remember Ontario, California, doing the old podcast Portable Media Expo, the New Media Expo before it was the New Media Expo, you might remember the Ask the Ninja show. And Todd Cochran and Rob Greenlee do a show called the New Media Show, and they had none other than the Ninja on. And check this out.
So, you know, you're remastering Ask a Ninja. You know, the question then is, with the remastering, and, you know, you're going to be reintroducing the content to, you know, probably a new generation of viewers. Are you guys going to start putting out some new stuff, or what's the thoughts?
We are.
And that's really all I wanted to leave it right there. That's right. The Ninja is going to be putting out new stuff. Now, if you want to hear, there's some really interesting stuff. And I'm only like halfway through that interview. I started listening to it today. With number one, if you've ever wanted to see what the Ninja looked like, I believe that's the Ninja there actually doing the interview. And that's over at newmediashow.com. I will actually be a guest on that show on October 25th. That is 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. You can find that over at newmediashow.com. Now, another show I want to spotlight here, it's not mine, good old Jared Easley was on the show. I was raving around his book. About his book. And again, I'll put a link to that out in the show notes. Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/430. He interviewed a guy named Alex Harris, and I want to play you a clip of this. This is the beginning of the show.
If you have a blog or a podcast and you're really struggling to either make money online or leave your job, these things really take time. You have to do things that don't scale. Like get on Skype calls with your audience. Ask your audience to contact you on Skype. Talk to as many people as you possibly can, because you're going to start to realize things about your own show, about your own personality, and what people want to hear. You want to gather the voice of your audience and use that back in your marketing to help serve them better.
There you go. That is the opening of Starve the Doubts. It's kind of cool how Jared does that. He pulls a clip from the interview, and that's how he opens the show. So you know what's coming up. But I love that clip. Because guys, like, look, you got to reach out while you're small and do those things. And if you're like, what does he mean not scale? Is this something to do with fish? No, it means that over time, if your show gets bigger and bigger and bigger, you're not going to be able to reach out one-on-one with your audience because you're going to be outnumbered. But it was a really good interview. And if you want to check that out, starvethedoubts.com. Now, the other thing I want to play here is not from a podcast. It's from a movie called Please Subscribe. It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Well, it's about YouTube. It's on Netflix. It's called Please Subscribe. And I was watching it, and they have all these people who literally have millions of viewers, and they're doing it on YouTube. And I wanted to play you a clip.
The level that YouTube is at, it's really been risen. There are a bunch of companies that are trying to buy their way in. A lot of people that come into YouTube with the mindset that they're going to be popular, with the mindset that they want to make a lot of money. Well, a lot of those people, it won't work for them. It's so much work, and you know, you constantly have to, you know, see what your audience is doing. You constantly have to see what's trending.
Notice what he said there. It's a lot of work. And you've got to see what your audience is doing and getting their feedback, because it's always all about your audience.
And it comes off as disingenuous, and audiences can read through that really, really quickly.
Yeah. So if you're getting into podcasting, now look, I've said this before, nothing wrong with trying to make money with your podcast. If your sole purpose of your podcast is to make money, in my opinion, and that's all this is, most people can smell that. They're like, you know, when everything is, buy this, buy that, sell that. Nobody wants to tune into a commercial.
But the people who've become really, really popular, you know, it's because they have some kind of new thing, some kind of connection with the audience. That's what people are searching for on YouTube that they can't find on TV.
Ah, something that you can't get on TV. It's new and it connects with the audience from a guy that is making a living on YouTube. And you know, that's a crazy space over there right now. But I thought, you know what? I'm glad to see that some things don't change. The basic concept of listening to your audience, giving them information. If you can do it in a entertaining fashion, that also helps. But people always say, Dave, how do you do so much? Well, I've said before, number one, I actually only do podcasting 3 days a week. I do it Monday night, I do it Thursday, and I do it Saturday. And to be honest with you right now, it's about 4 days a week, because I do a little on Sunday morning before I head off to church. And I've actually been cheating. I go to my church online, so I actually don't drive to church, but I still get my Invisible Sky Buddy fix. And one of the ways that I'm able to watch movies, one of the ways I'm able to do this, now this is going to sound like a commercial, I use a thing called MySpeed. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/MySpeed, I'm going to play you a clip of me watching this YouTube video, and listen to me speed it up.
Well, my channel is The Will of DC, and I do YouTube news covering anything important affecting the YouTube community or the online video space, and another show called Winners and Losers, where I pretty much just do a stock market ticker of who my channels are moving up and what channels are moving down, the top 100 most subscribed. So I wake up at 8 a.m. and take however long it takes me to write the script. Like right now, it's 8:50.
There you go. So that's me speeding up a show. So this way, if I'm watching, how many times do you go to a website and there's some sort of long video, and I love the ones when there's no play or pause button. Yeah, I just go over to MySpeed and go put this baby up to 3x. And I know, you may not know this, on YouTube videos, if you click on the little gear in the bottom right-hand corner, many videos now you can say play this at 2x. And the cool thing about MySpeed is it's you can go all the way up to 3x. It's only $29. It works on a Mac and a PC. And if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/myspeed, you can actually try it free for 7 days. And yes, that is an affiliate link, but I'm telling you, it's a really cool program. I use it every single day. You're listening to the marvelous sounds of the Rocky River, Ohio High School Marching Band. Go Pirates! 5-2, baby. We might have a shot at the playoffs this year. And my stepson, who I affectionately refer to as the Senator, because I'm pretty sure that's where that kid's going to end up, has like a 4.5 GPA. I'm like, how do you even do that? Brilliant kid, and very proud of that boy. And boy, he's 17. He'll kill me for saying that. And I got the joy. I said, could you put air quotes up, please? You know this. If you have kids, when you get to go to one of their school functions where you get to hear other people perform, I never will forget. I went to a talent show, and there's a song called It's Too Late to Apologize. And I cannot hear that song anymore because I heard someone destroy it at a talent show. And this was a band show. So it was like 8 different bands from around Ohio. You know, like, Dave, what does this have to do with podcasting? Bear with me. Now, here's the fun thing. They're all pretty much the same, right? You got the little pom-pom girls. There is some baton twirling, which was interesting. And there were big bass drums and tubas and trombones and things like that. And kind of, if you think about it, a marching band is a marching band is a marching band. Now, some of them, like, the one that I really liked had 250 people in it. But the interesting thing is, for some reason, they all played this song called Pompeii. 3 of them, I shouldn't say all, 3 out of like 8 played the song Pompeii by some band I've never heard of. And so the announcer actually started to make fun of this, which was kind of funny. But it was interesting to go, okay, here's the same song with pretty much bands of the same size, and how is this one different than the last one? And so, to bring this back to podcasting, when there are subjects that are similar, you make the difference. And there are a couple things that I wanted to share real quick, and then we're going to get into, I've got an example of this, and then we're going to talk with Sean Smith. But it was interesting because, number one, who really connected with the audience? Well, there's a thing now that's happening in marching bands. Now, for the record, the Rocky River High School marching band is boring. They don't do anything fun. We are a stick-in-the-mud, traditional kind of marching band, as in we play music and we march around in, like, square shapes and circles and things like that. We do a couple things, but, yeah, okay. But now there are these bands that will literally put down their instruments and dance. Dance, I say, dance. Now's the time I sprach it, Sven, we dance. Yeah, it was amazing. And here's what it was. People laughed because why? It was different. It was different. Now, there is different and then there's unorganized. Because the first band that did it, they just kind of would come out and they would just like rock their shoulders and they would bend back and forth and they would play pointing up and then they would play pointing down and they just kind of wiggled their butt. And at first you're like, ah, that's kind of cool. And then they kept doing it and kept doing it and there was no kind of rhyme or reason to it. So it just looked like everybody had ants in their pants. And you're like, okay, well, that was kind of cool, I guess, in a way. It was not the traditional thing. Then another band came out and they started dancing. And the cool thing with these guys is, okay, wow, here's another one of those dancing bands. And they actually did it in synchronized fashion. So they added a little more work to it, a little practice here, not just wiggle like ants in your pants. And it was like, okay, cool, wow, all right. And then, so that was cool. And people laughed and they cheered and it connected. It was like, ooh, wow, I better watch this because it's not somebody else playing, you know, marching music after a while. My favorite is when they take heavy metal music from like the 80s. You know, it's like, I don't know, here playing the hit from AC/DC, You Shook Me All Night Long. I'm like, I don't think Angus Young had a marching band in mind when he created the iconic riff of You Shook Me All Night Long. So that's always fun to watch the music that you grew up listening to being completely butchered by a marching band from high school kids who weren't even born when it was on the radio. So this third band comes out, and they're huge. They're just ginormous. And they're going to town, and they're marching. First of all, they came on the field with they all have this little thing, like the Rocky River Marching Band does this, I think it's da-ga-ga-da-da-da-ga-da-da-da-ga-da-ga-da. And they go, go river. And they all kind of bring their legs together at once and they put their instruments down. It's cool. But this band, the director was like screaming at the band, like, what are you going to do? And they're like, we're going to play it out. And it's like, what are you going to do? And they're like, with passion, with heart. And they're all, and they're screaming at each other. And you're like, wow, those kids. And it wasn't like, because we're talking high school kids. It's hard to get high school kids motivated where they'd be like going, with passion. With heart, whatever. I want to play video games. No, these kids were into it, and they gave it their all. So they come out, they're doing their thing, and guess what? Yeah, they're going to do some dancing now, but now it's not only dancing. They literally at one point, when they played their music, it was amazing, and it was tight, and they sounded awesome. Then they put down their instruments, and they actually danced with each other. Like, they're kind of dipping each other and things like that. And I'm like, wow, that was cool. And then here's the thing that I was like, all right. I talked about turning your podcast upside down. They did a thing where they featured their drum section. Now, what's interesting about this is if you've never seen a marching band, at times the bass drum is bigger than the child holding the bass drum. I'm literally like, they're 4 feet tall and the kid that's carrying it is like 5'1". You know, little Timmy is being crushed by his instrument. And so the drummers come out front. And it's hard to explain on an audio podcast. But picture a drum, like this big round cylinder thing. And normally, the child is on the, let's say, right-hand side, arching his back so the drum is off the ground. Well, he puts little Timmy, we'll call him, puts the drum on the ground and kicks his feet so that the drum rolls and it stops when his hat, his very cool plumed kind of band hat, stops. So now Timmy is basically standing on his head and the drum is in the middle and his feet are pointing straight up. Now, he could have gone lazy here and just let his feet do whatever. No, all the bass drum players have their feet pointing straight up and they're standing on their head and they're still playing their drums. Now, meanwhile, the guys with the snares are basically, they have fallen on the ground to their knees and then fallen back on their back. But they're doing this to a way to where their knees are facing away from the audience, but the drums, now that they're on their backs, are facing the audience. I don't know if that makes any sense. But when they're playing now, you can really hear these drums because you're basically looking over their shoulder. And just the whole band did this thing and it was like, okay, I've never seen people play drums upside down. And then they all got up together. It was really cool. And then here's the cool thing. They started playing some sort of, I think it was when the Saints go marching in or something like that. And they had a trombone player, a trumpet player, and I think another trumpet player. And it kind of came to at the end of it, right? So the drums get up. It's a big crescendo, and these guys start blowing their face off, you know, and now they're playing not off the page. They're not playing notes off the page, and they're leaning back, and they're just blasting it, and it was, I looked at my wife and said, that's cool. I said, that's not from the page, and these guys were having fun. They were showing off, and they were playing with that favorite word that we love to say in podcasting, passion. And that was the band that I was like, that was cool. That's the band that I'm telling you about now. Why? Because they took something as boring as, you know, playing the same old, same stuff. They found a new way to do it. In this case, I've never seen drummers play upside down. They played with passion. They had fun and it came through. So when I talk about podcasting, you're like, Dave, what does this have to do with podcasting again? Yeah, you know what? If I wanted to start a comedian podcast right now, I don't know that I would just interview all my other comedian friends. If I wanted to start an entrepreneur podcast, I don't know that I would want to just interview entrepreneurs and go, how did you fail? Tell me how you got around that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's got to be something else. And I found a couple podcasts here that I wanted to spotlight. And one is, I met Ian at the Podcast Movement. Now, he does a show called Intro Machine, Building Better Podcasts. So this is an audio editing type of podcast. So yes, there are a lot of podcasts about podcasting like mine, and some of them come and some of them go. And here's the really cool thing about this is I have a ton of Ian's stuff. He has a company called Big Fish, and they make like all sorts of bumper music and things like that. And it's weird because I kind of recognized his voice, because on a couple of tracks, he'd be like, hey, thanks to, you know, Big Slam and Joe for the guitar on this, whatever. And then I heard him and I'm like, where? And then he said something about Big Fish. And I'm like, you're the Big Fish guy. And so what's cool is Ian is doing rather short shows. They're like around 10 minutes and he's talking about audio editing. Okay. Now there are plenty of shows like that. My friend Mike Russell over at Music Radio Creative has a great show on that. I talked about that last week, how he's got the community going over there for audio masters. And I'll put a link to that out in the show notes. It's audioproductionmasters.com/SOP. And you can hear Mike's show at Audio Production Podcast. But Ian's show is the Intro Machine. And this is where I was like, that's cool. This is Ian taking Ian and a concept as, for lack of a better phrase, kind of dry as audio editing. And he put himself into it. And what he does is at the end of every show, he takes something that from like this one, he was talking about, I believe, about getting noise out of your podcast. And he takes what he talks about in audio editing and says, here's how you can apply this to life. Let me play you a little clip of this.
So hopefully you got something from this episode. Another thing I'd like to do right before we close each week is just talk about how audio editing can be sort of a metaphor for life. All right. So we talked a lot about our environment and removing things that are distracting and that will derail you. And the same goes with your personal life, right? So after you're done eliminating all the things that distract from your audio signal, I'd encourage you to sit down and write down all the things that are a distraction in your everyday and business life. What's holding you back? What's distracting you? What's derailing you, making you switch gears, right? And see if you can pull some of those things out as well. All right, that's all I've got.
There you go. Thank you, Ian. And again, you can find it at intromachine.com. He'll actually do intros for you as well. He'll do an intro, an outro. He actually even has a payment plan over there. Met the guy, really nice guy. And it was so weird that I had this weird connection with the whole Big Fish thing. And another one that, an example of taking a podcast, whatever the subject is, and finding a different way to slice that pie. I'm going to appear on the Profit Cast podcast. You can find it at profitcastuniverse.com, starring the real Brian, really nice guy. Another guy I met at Podcast Movement. And here's a guy that isn't really talking about microphones, although we're going to be talking about microphones today with Sean Smith. He's not talking about feed burners bad. He's not talking about, you know, he's talking about how do you grow your audience and how do you monetize it. He took a piece of the podcast pie, and he's, as my buddy Ray Ortega would say from podcastersstudio.com, he's niching down. And he's a super nice guy. He's got a radio background, and I really like his show. And my goal is to have Brian come on the show, on this show, in the very near future. So those are some examples of people taking a subject. Now, in this case, I'm using things kind of in my little niche of podcasting and breaking it down and injecting themselves. So step back and think about how can I do this show maybe a little different? I never planned the whole thing where I stopped interviews like I'm going to be doing here. I just did that one day and somebody said that was really cool. Okay. It's me wanting to say something that I probably should have said when I interviewed them the first time. And it's the teacher in me. I want to make sure you caught that. And so we are going to listen to an interview. Speaking of people who have kind of niched down. Now, this is an interesting interview because this is from Podcast Movement. It's Sean Smith. Now, you can find Sean at themobilepro.net. And this is recorded using a Zoom IQ5B. It's like $99 at Amazon. And if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/430, you can actually see an affiliate link of mine. And if you buy it through that link, I earn a little bit of money on that. And I deeply appreciate you using that. And Sean also has, and he'll talk about this in the interview, he has a 28-page with photos of, it's a free ebook about 5 different setups that you can use to record on the road. So Sean has taken the idea of podcasting and said, he travels all over the world. He goes around and does mission work. Super nice guy. And he's like, look, I need to find out how to record the best way with gear that's not going to take up a suitcase and a half. And I wanted to learn how to do it. And so he's kind of niched down to do this. So we are using, now here's the interesting thing about this interview. This is day one of Podcast Movement. In fact, it might even be the night before. And I get there and here's Sean, never met him before in my life. He's got microphones all out, things like that. And he explains to me that he's going to be launching this podcast, which is now out again over at themobilepro.net. And he shows me this thing and I plugged it into my phone. So this was recorded using Boss Jock Studio on my iPhone. And so I'm going to leave this the way it is. I've done zero processing to this. I might have boosted the volume a little bit, but you're going to hear me in one speaker and Sean in the other because we keep fiddling with knobs and stuff. So if you're listening with one earbud in, I apologize. If you're like, Dave, I couldn't hear you. Well, I'm kind of showing off the microphone here. So here is my interview with Sean Smith, themobilepro.net. All right. So we are at the Podcast Movement. I'm with my, thank you very much, my new bestest buddy, Sean Smith. You can find him at themobilepro.net. Another great example of niching down. It's not just podcasting, it's podcasting mobile. Now, you'll notice here that there are some popping peas. I'm leaving those in here. I did reduce them a little thanks to insights I got from Mike Russell from the audio production podcast. You remove the bass. If you highlight a pop that's happened, highlight it and remove the bass from it. It really reduces the destructiveness of the pop. But I left them in here because the only thing I didn't like about this microphone, and really think about this, this is the first time I've used it. I'm sure with a little practice I could avoid this, is I did get a fair amount of pops here at the beginning and I've left them in. And he is going to be the new expert because he's shown me a really cool tool. What is this thing called?
This is the Zoom IQ5. And it's a condenser, it's actually a stereo condenser mic that plugs into the bottom of an iOS device. Any Lightning iOS device, like you've got it plugged into your iPhone right now. And this thing is unbelievable. I've been using this for the past 3 or 4 months. I've done dozens of podcast interviews on it. It does not require any battery, external battery or external power. It pulls its power from the iPhone. And right now we've got it plugged into Boss Jock Studio, which has automatic gain control. This also has an automatic gain control on it. It's got a limiter on it if you have high pressure sound. So, and by the way, I don't work for the company. Right. This thing has just really changed my life. It's made by Zoom, who knows something about microphones. But it's got some cool little switches here. So,
yeah, I'm going to say, explain these.
So right now we're on the 90-degree pattern, right?
So I'm going to talk about these a little bit here. One thing I want to point out, this is in a very, very large room outside. This is where all the vendors were. And as we start this interview, I'm going to say maybe there's 1-2 people way, way down at the other end. At the end of this interview, you'll hear where more people have stammered in, and we are picking up. Now, not to the point of being distracting, but you will notice that there are people in the background, and it is picking them up because this is a condenser microphone. Now, it's also very clear and sounds good, but listen to this now. He's going to flip a switch, and what we're doing here is there is your, you know, your left earbud and your right earbud, and this switch basically defines how far left is left and how far right is right. So you'll hear this as we flip these switches.
So okay. It's throwing a 90-degree pattern around that red dot. Now, if we switch this to 120, now, do you hear the difference?
Now, hear how Sean is really right now in the right, or in my case, my right earbud, where before he was kind of in the right, but you could also hear him in the left. He's a little more wide.
The 120?
Yeah, so and I'm really a little wider stereo pan. So it's a little more separation.
Yes, and if we switch in the Boss Jock app.
Can we do that while we're recording?
I think we can. I thought we could. Yeah, and right?
So let me hit record here. So we've switched this to, what's the new setting now?
This is 120, so you're getting a much wider pattern. So you should hear me on this side. And then over on this side.
Yeah, so it's a wider stereo separation as you switch that.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so
very cool. Yeah, I see that definitely now.
So now we're on each side of the stereo spectrum. And then if you do mid-side, which is this other switch here, you'll get an even fuller pattern.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite for stereo ambiance, and it's actually about 360. So I'm moving around the mic, and it's about 360. So I've had this with a round table, group of people, and with automatic gain control, it's just amazing.
What's this go for?
This is about $100 on Amazon Prime.
The nice thing about this is I don't have to worry about taking my phone and my portable recorder. My phone is now my portable recorder.
Because if I'm using the Roland R-05, which I usually do, it has condenser microphones built into it. So, you know, just as good as this. So this would be a way to have less, you know, I'm not losing anything by using this little microphone that's about the size of two of your thumbs put together. Again, if you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/430, it looks like a disco ball on top of a, well, since it's Halloween here, a small Snickers bar with some knobs and buttons on it.
Very
no,
cool.
No extra batteries.
That's cool.
No charging or recharging. It's really blown me away at the audio quality that you're getting out of it, and not too much, you know, a lot of condenser mics, you know, the
pick up rooms, a lot of background noise.
Yeah, the room's bouncing around, you can hear all that. And especially I found, like, for audio, for interviews, kind of like this, if you're in a quiet space like we are, just putting on that setting on a stand right in between and having the conversation, it sounds very natural.
So here again, notice he said a quiet setting, because if you had a lot of noise going on, it's going to pick that up. Now, the other cool way you could use this, if you're doing any kind of video on your phone, and let's say you're recording a concert, this would be a great way to pick up the audio, because you'd pick it up from every different direction. Video I saw of this explaining the microphone had that example of recording a band or something. Like if I was recording a marching band, this would be the microphone I'd want to take, and I could do it right on my phone.
In noisy settings, I found that 90-degree pattern to be just awesome. It really limits...
It's a sweet spot.
Yeah, it limits all the ambient noise, and you can really get it within 1 or 2 inches of the person's mouth, and it doesn't clip. So I've been using this. I've replaced it. You know, we're sitting next to two Shure SM7Bs that go for about $250 each. Cables and you know, you have to have something to plug it into,
right?
Some sort of AD converter. I've AB'd this with, you know, two studio mics, and it's like, man, it is not bad. It's a little crispy. The 120, I think, is a little bit crispy, but that 90 degree, and if you're right on that, right on that red dot.
Oh, man.
You hear the bass.
Yeah.
And the bass is just, now I'm about 6 inches away right now. And it's just, it's really rich. You know, it's not super high, crispy, tinny, which you get often with condensers.
Right.
But it's really full. I think it's a game changer. I mean, this is a iOS device. It turns your iOS device really into a really decent field recorder for half the money.
Yeah, and with the SM7s, do they sound better? Yes. But does it sound, what would that be, like $400 better?
Exactly. I mean, that it's really hard to justify. Now, I love them. I think it does, as my wife describes it, it sounds like you're in their ear. You know, mm-hmm. It's that studio sound, that radio sound that we know and we love. But this ain't bad. You know, I think for beginning podcasters, people who don't want, we were just talking about, don't want to put a lot of investment. I don't know why they don't want to spend more than $40, but, you know, they don't want to put a lot of investment into microphones and mixers and all that stuff. For if they have an iOS device for $99, they're in the podcasting business. You get headphones, ear pods, or whatever you have, and they can at least test out, are they going to get past that seventh episode to find out, is this something that I'm worth investing in my life? With this on a GorillaPod stand, and you're podcasting and mobily. I mean, you can go anywhere.
Go on the road, absolutely. Well, at this point, have you launched your podcast yet?
No, I haven't. I just did an interview with you. I'm putting together banking, hopefully more than 7 episodes, to launch sometime this fall.
And again, we're going to be able to find you at?
So if you go to themobilepro.net, I actually have a guide. It's a free ebook. It's an opt-in. You give me your email address. I'm trying to build my email address for people who are really interested in mobile podcasting, mobile video, mobile entrepreneurship. It is 5 ways to record or podcast from your iPhone. So 5 different setups. This is one of them that I just can't be beat for beginning podcasters and even pros. I mean, to take this on the road. But I have 5 different setups. All the apps, the cables, the gear, the stands, the mics, everything to plug into and especially do multi-track recording, multi-mic recording into an iPhone or an iOS device. With iOS 7, you can do 2-track recording into many different apps. GarageBand does it. BossJock will do stereo recording. Discrete 2-channel recording. So if you're doing mixing and editing and mastering and you want to do that mobily, it's now possible. And iOS 8 is going to be even better.
Yeah.
We don't know everything that it's going to do, but... But I do mission work 3 months out of the year. I'm in Guatemala, and I don't have my studio with me. I've had to figure out how to do podcasting from my bag. My backpack's sitting here, and everything that we have in this table fits in that backpack. And they didn't have the Zoom IQ5 when I started 3 years ago, but I've had to figure out how to do mobile podcasting even on the mission site in the village out in the middle of nowhere in Guatemala. And so this has kind of driven me to figure out how to, you know, there's so much gear. And you're a gearhead, I'm a gearhead. We love all the gear. There's so much gear, but not all of it works with the iPhone. Not all of it works with the apps. Not all of it. So it's taken a lot to try and figure out which lapels work with which wiring harnesses so that you can have headphone monitoring for both, you know, you and your guest. So anyway, there's 5 different setups with all the links of how to get the gear, and it's free. Give me your email address, and it's at themobilepro.net, and hopefully there'll be a podcast coming soon featuring Dave Jackson.
There you go. Well, what's been, as you're getting ready to launch this, any lessons you've learned along the way that you like, oh, the next time I launch a podcast... maybe I'll do this different, or
Well, I'd probably go to your school first because I travel so much and my life is not very consistent, and so to take a course of some kind has been very difficult. So sincerely, I would have taken your course I'm a music person, so I know the gear, I know the equipment, yeah. I know the audio editing stuff from the music world. Mm-hmm. But the content creation, the creating a show, that's the really intimidating part. And I guess the biggest piece of advice that I keep hearing, and I haven't taken yet, is to just start.
Just start. That's right. Hey, you want to check this out? Super nice guy. Find him over at themobilepro.net. You can get that guide. He's going to ask for your email address. And super nice guy. Remember, again, you don't have to be great to start, but to be great, you have to start. And really super nice guy. And speaking of super nice people, I want to say hello to, I believe it's PhiloPastry88 from Australia. Good day! Who gave me 5 stars. And this is one of the cool things about my podcast reviews. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/MPR, that'll take you right over there. And I would have never known about this review because it's in Australia. And when I log into iTunes, I see the American side of that. So thank you so much for giving me a review. If you'd like to review me, go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes, and that'll take you right there. You can go into iTunes, and any kind of honest review is always deeply appreciated. And that is going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Everything I talked about today, the microphone, the interview with Fred, Amateur Traveler, all that, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/430. And if you are looking to start a podcast, I would love to help you. Look, I got 429 episodes if you want to go back and listen to those. But if you're looking for just step-by-step, you're ready to get going, you're ready to go, step-by-step tutorials, as well as a great community, check out schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER. That is all lowercase, by the way. And that'll save you on your first month, and we will get you on your path to pain-free podcasting. In next week's episode, I'm going to talk specifically. Somebody sent me an email that said, hey, I have kind of a weird niche. How do I grow my audience? And I'm going to tell you what I did and how we found their audience and some things that you can do to promote your show. So that's coming up in future episodes, as well as whatever you want to talk about. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact, and I would love to hear any questions you have, and would love to get them answered. And thank you so much for tuning in. Let me remind you to live today like it's your last one. Live tomorrow like it's your first, and don't ever let your problems bring out your worst. Don't ever take your mind off whatever is your goal. Be true to yourself and follow your soul. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Until then, I hope to see you on the inside. Class is dismissed. God bless.